Do whales sneeze?
I'm not sure, but luckily I've got an amazing whale expert I can call on.
We essentially go out onto a boat, we go out to the sea, we look for whales, we see a whale breathing.
Who will take us through her experiments.
And then as the whale takes a breath, the drone is flown through the snot and will deliberately collect as much snot as possible.
And let us know the answer. How does that sound, Guy?
That would be fun.
Join us on The Conversation's Curious Kids, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Fun Kids Meets. This is the podcast where we meet loads and loads of excellent, interesting people. And I'm not going to lie, I think this one might be one of the most interesting fellows that we've come across so far in the series. But first of all, on the theme of interesting people, it is the king of Fun Kids Science. It is Dan. Hello, Dan.
Were you talking about me? Am I the most interesting person you've had on this podcast ever?
You're the, I reckon, second most interesting person on this podcast today.
Well, it's always nice to be in the mix. You always want to be in the conversation to be the best, I think. Thank you very much for having me, Sean. I'm excited to bring another science guest to your ears.
And this week is actually someone who I'm a big fan of. This is Adam Kay, who writes some excellent medical books.
Yes, Adam Kay used to be a doctor. He's a doctor and a comedian and a writer and a performer. He wrote a book called This Is Going to Hurt, which, I don't know, like your mum and dad might have heard, like read. It's sold about a bajillion books all around the world. Like, think of a huge number. He sold more than that number, honestly. And now he's writing some books for us. He's written a brand new one called Kay's Anatomy. And it just takes you through all the things about your body that you wish you knew, but you've never really thought to ask.
And when I said, like, who's written some excellent medical books, it made it sound like a little bit kind of grown up and scientific. They are, like, hilarious as well, because I think in this one, doesn't he, like, just talk about the most disgusting parts of the body and loads of great gross stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of snot and a lot of slime and a lot of spit in there.
Which takes me nicely on the Fun Kids Meets bingo, because this is going to be a fun one this week, because I'm just going to guess gross stuff. And A, that's going to be great, because I think I'm going to be right. And B, it's just fun to guess gross things, isn't it? So my first thing that I'm going to guess is that I reckon there's going to be some chat about farts. Am I in the right ballpark of disgustingness here, or have I gone too immature?
It's interesting that you've gone straight for farts. In the big dartboard that you could throw a disgusting thing at, you've gone for farts.
I also call that the bullseye.
You might be on a good path with that. A stinky, but good path.
What else is gross? Vom's quite gross, isn't it? Doing a big sick. That's quite gross. I reckon there's going to be some chat about that.
This is a little bit of innards coming up. Yeah, it might make an appearance.
I'd also just probably strongly recommend that you're not eating some lovely dinner whilst listening to this podcast, because I think it's going to be quite spicy. And last but by no means least, is there going to be... Let's go for the mother load here. Let's go for triple 20. Is there going to be some poop chat? That's my final guess. So I've gone for all the big ones. Fart, vom, and poo. Man, I tell you what, for actually quite a highbrow scientific guest, these are some wild guesses.
You've got yourself a nice, stinking, slimy smoothie, haven't you there? I'm excited for you to drink it all in.
Oh, my days. I probably am going to vom just thinking about that. Right, let's go and see what you chatted to the excellent Adam Kay about on Fun Kids Meets this week.
Now, Adam Kay is our guest this week. He used to be a doctor. Then he wrote a book about being a doctor. It sold about a billion copies all around the world, and he's got a new one out that I think you'll love. It's called Kay's Anatomy. It's a complete and completely disgusting guide to the human body. Adam, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now listen, it's a title that promises a lot. What is the most disgusting thing that you know about the human body?
Oh, where do I start? I mean, it depends what you find disgusting. If you find blood disgusting, then every day your heart pumps 7,000 litres of the stuff. And 7,000 litres is enough to fill 90 pretty disgusting baths. So actually probably don't do that. It's pretty disgusting if you find out that you in the past have drunk your own wee.
What?
No, it wasn't that lemonade that tasted a bit weird last week. It was actually when you were a baby, when you were inside your mum, the water you drank was the same as the wee that you weed out. So, I mean, that's slightly disgusting. If you think brains are a bit squidgy and disgusting, if you unfolded your brain, it would be the size of your pillow. Again, please don't do that. I don't want complaints about all messed up duvets and things. The spit that you produce in a single day would fill two cans of Coke. The longest fart ever recorded was 3 minutes. I mean, there's a lot of disgusting stuff going on in the air, let's be honest.
Now, a few things I need to pick up on from that. A long fart, what would make, in your medical experience, what would make a fart go for 3 minutes?
You'd have to wonder about what the record holder had been eating at the time, wouldn't you? Because a lot of things increase the amount you fart. All it is air that's inside your intestines. And in fact, swallowing air is one of the big things that does that. So actually fizzy drinks or something that's got air in it. Also, if you like suck on your pen lid or something, that puts lots of air inside. And also, I'm sure everyone realizes there are certain foods that increase your fart volume and quantity, and things like beans and vegetables and meat, all sorts of things. And that's because when your intestines, when your gut is digesting it to get all the good stuff out, certain types of food, bacteria, the little bugs that are hanging around in your gut. Oh, by the way, your poo is alive. Over half of your poo is made up of bacteria that are alive, and don't panic too much. Anyway, but some of these bacteria produce a bit of air, and that air turns into fart. So I suspect the bloke who farted for 3 minutes probably had just eaten about 400 tons of baked beans, maybe.
It makes you think, if he's a record breaker, that he might be brilliantly well practiced at this. It's a bit of a fuss getting a record. You've got to get someone down, record the thing. Maybe this guy has been practicing, which means, I don't know, can he control his farts? Is that possible?
Yeah, that's perfectly possible. And in fact, if you look back through history, there were people who made their living through professionally farting. I don't know if this is all too disgusting, it's all going to get cut out and no one's going to hear it, but hundreds of years ago, kings and queens in all sorts of countries would employ all sorts of professional jesters and entertainers. And there was one in England who was known as Roland the Farter. And his job was just to do amusing and amazing farts. And he was so popular with the king at the time that when he retired from his farting job, they gave him an enormous house in the country.
I tell you, my dad has been born in the wrong century. He would have made a killing back then. Now, just tell us a bit more about the book. So how does it look? What's the form? How did you go about researching everything that's disgusting inside your body and then making it brilliantly readable for us?
Well, I worked as a doctor, and so I had to sit in a boring lecture theatre for 6 years and be told all of these facts. And the facts that mostly stayed with me were the slightly disgusting ones. And I've always thought that the body is absolutely fascinating. And I know not everyone thinks the body is fascinating, but that's only because they don't realise quite how amazing some of this stuff is. And I thought I could write down everything I know about the body, and other people might also find this stuff interesting. Things like the amount of skin that you shed in a lifetime would fill a wheelbarrow. Or the fact that you blink for 1 month every year, or that your nose can tell the difference between a trillion different smells. And maybe your dad's farts are the very worst of that trillion.
Oh, I tell you what, Adam, they are horrendous. Listen, it's made me think of a question, the fart question. What's the kind of the biological difference between a barp and a fert? I know they come out of different ends, but what's happening inside your body which determines where it's going to come out of?
It's basically as simple as where the air gets produced. Top half up as a burp, bottom half down as a fart. So anything that's in your stomach, if your stomach's all a bit stretched with all of this air that's in it, you've just chugged 10 pints of Coke, and then it suddenly out the top.
That would make a nice slogan, I think. Top half burp, bottom half fart.
Yep.
Now, listen, thank you so much for coming on. When we get proper experts, we like to get questions from our listeners and just chuck them at you and see what happens. If you've got something, by the way, leave it as a review for the Fun Kids Science Weekly over on Apple Podcasts. Finn has done that, who wants to know, Adam, why do we get headaches and migraines? What's going on there?
Right, annoying, aren't they? I mean, there's lots of different things that cause headaches. Things like stress, when you've had a nasty old day and school's been rubbish, or the traffic's been awful, the muscles in your head can tighten up. If you're dehydrated, like you've not had enough to drink, if you've been listening to loud music, if you're tired, if you've been on a long car journey. And also there's a fun reason. If you've had a load of ice cream really quickly, you get brain freeze, which you'll be pleased to hear doesn't actually mean that your brain is freezing. What's happened there is nerves, which are these little wires that send messages all around your body, have got confused. And instead of sending a signal to your brain saying, this is cold, it gets muddled up and goes, ah, this is painful. And that's a brain freeze. And while I've got you, there is one serious type of headache that I think everyone should know about, which is called meningitis. And it's not very common. And now we can have vaccinations that stop you getting the most serious types. But this is a headache that also gives you a rash or also gives you a stiff neck. And if you've got a headache with a rash or a stiff neck, that's something to always chat to an adult about.
Brilliant. Of course, we need to keep that in mind. So is it a headache at times? Is it the muscles getting tired and squeezing? Is that what's making us a bit pained when we don't have enough water?
Yeah, there are all sorts of things that can make the brain hurt. Weirdly, the brain itself, the squidgy grey and white stuff, doesn't actually feel pain itself. So when you're feeling pain of a headache, it's to do with muscles or blood vessels and the stuff around the head. So you can do an operation on someone when they're awake on their brain and it doesn't hurt, because the brain itself, even though it's in charge of, all the pain when you stub your toe or whatever, doesn't feel pain itself. And once a doctor was doing an operation on someone, and they played the violin whilst they were operating on this person's brain. So I really hope that patient was very good at the violin, because otherwise that would have been really off-putting for the doctors.
Yeah, that's kind of creeping me out, the fact the brain can't feel pain itself. So thank you so much for that question, Finn. This one is from Lily. Why do we throw up? So when we're ill, when we're feeling sick, why is one of our body's reaction to propel food and other stuff out of our mouth?
Yeah, it's a very good question from Lily. And again, there's lots of reasons for it. So anything from like a bad headache to, a high temperature, if you've just stepped off a roller coaster, if you've just read a particularly disgusting book, that all can make you throw up or vomit, to use the proper medical term. But the most common reason is because your stomach has detected something that shouldn't be in there. So like if your stomach spots that you've eaten some food that's covered in germs, it tells your brain to press the ejector seat. And so right at the bottom of the stomach, that all closes up, and then your abs, so the muscles at the front in front of your stomach, squeeze in, and then suddenly your lunch is all over your jumper. And that characteristic horrible smell comes from something called butyric acid. That's a good one. Remember butyric acid, because that's a fact that I bet you that your parents and your teachers don't know. And you can show off with that one or make them seem stupid, whichever you prefer. So the butyric acid gives it its smell. And interestingly, butyric acid is also found in lots of different cheeses. So if you've ever, you know, sniffed some Parmesan and thought, that smells a bit like puke, you were right. It's exactly the same stuff.
So when we have to take a day off school, maybe, and without getting too disgusting, when you've been sick for a while and you're still sick, nothing's coming up, but you still feel like you need to retch. What's happening in, what's our stomach detected there that makes you want to vomit?
It's the muscle is just very sore, really. So, like, you know, if you do loads of exercise, you know, sort of lifting your weights up, as I know you do all the time, Dan, probably doing it now. After you've done it, you know, lifted the weights a few times, your arms getting sore and sensitive, and exactly the same happens in your stomach. It's had a really rotten time with these germs in it, and it's anything you put down in there makes it sort of twitch and sort of and want to get rid of anything that's in there. So it's overreacting a bit.
Ah, Lily, thank you so much for that. This one is from Ben, who wants to know, how do we talk? What's making the sounds?
That's a very good question. Really, talking is just a slightly fancy version of breathing out. So, you know, obviously breathing involves your lungs. Air goes in, air goes out. And as it's coming out, if you want to talk, it goes through a part of your windpipe called your vocal cords. And the air whooshing past them makes them vibrate, a bit like the strings on a violin or something. And so that just creates a sound. And if you want to make the sound more exciting than just a, then you have to wobble your tongue and move your lips around. And that turns the into specific special sound. So say you want to say the word bum, who wouldn't? So you press your lips together for the B, bup, and then you put your lips in a bit of a circle for the oh, and then closed again for an M sound, ma, bum.
I loved a deep dive through how you make the sound bum. That's amazing.
It's crucial information. Ben, that was crucial information.
This is from Josh, and this is important at the moment. We're always hearing about vaccines in the news, and if we do feel a little bit sick, maybe we have medicine that we might have in the drawer, paracetamol, ibuprofen, Calpol, that kind of thing. Josh wants to know, how do medicines make us better?
That's a very good question. It's a very big question. I could write a really boring book about how medicines make us better. So, I mean, vaccines are very, very interesting because obviously vaccines are a brilliant invention. And what they do is they stop you getting a disease in the first place. And it's much better to never get it in the first place than try and treat it afterwards. And the idea behind vaccines is tricking your body to put up all of its defences, get all of its defences ready to deal with a special illness of any kind. Because so, like, obviously, COVID is the illness that we've been trying to prevent a lot at the moment, and it takes your body a bit of a while once you've got an infection to develop all of its defences that it needs. And so, the idea behind this is you give the vaccine, and the body, you don't get sick, but the body makes all its defences. So if you are unlucky enough to get a bit of COVID, then hopefully your body can just thwack it away. And in terms of if you're not feeling so well, the way the medicines work depend on what's the matter. So a lot of medicines are pills or liquids, and those you obviously swallow, and then the stomach breaks it down, which sends it right off to a place called the liver, usually, and the liver chucks the medicines into your bloodstream, and luckily your blood goes everywhere, which means that it might be pain relief that it needs to send to your head, or antibiotics to send off for an infection in your, you know, in your throat or in your little finger or whatever. So that's why you might sometimes wonder, why am I eating this tablet or drinking this liquid if it's got to go to my little finger? And that's the answer. And other common things, lots of people have asthma, and this is a sort of medicine where you take your inhaler and you basically breathe it in, and that medicine acts directly onto the tubes inside your lungs, and it works to open them up. and sometimes people need injections. And most common one for that is probably for diabetes. If you've got diabetes, you might have it, someone you know might have it. It means that your body isn't making something called insulin, and your body needs some insulin, and so you replace it by putting it in yourself.
Amazing. Maisie is our last question, who wants to know, how do we make more blood to stay alive?
Staying alive is really important. And you're quite right that it involves having blood going around. Blood's made up of all sorts of different cells. There are red blood cells, and there are white blood cells, and there are platelets. I don't know what color they are. Maybe green blood cells.
We'll say green, yeah.
Okay, fine. They're not green, really. No, they're also a bit white, actually. So maybe that's why they didn't call them other white bloods. Anyway, all of these blood cells have a certain life expectancy. So like red blood cells last for around 4 months. And obviously your body agrees with Maisie that it's important to have more blood so you can stay alive. And actually, blood comes from a slightly surprising place. Blood cells come from your bones. So you think of bones probably as sort of quite solid things, big lumps of white stuff. In the middle of your bones is a very squidgy bit, and that's called your bone marrow. And that's actually the bit that dogs find delicious. That's why dogs, like my dog Pippin, love to run around with a bone and chew on that. So yes, your blood cells come from your bones.
Very quickly, does the body have a level where we need that amount of blood? So if something bad were to happen and we were to lose blood, if we give blood away and we need more, does the body instantly know, I need to get to work, I need my bone marrows to start working, making that blood?
Absolutely. It's a very, very clever setup your body's got. So you can actually lose quite a lot of blood before it becomes a big old emergency, because your body's got a little bit spare. But as soon as you've lost some blood, a message goes out to your bones saying, hurry up, guys, we need to get some more baby blood cells. But obviously some people end up needing a bit of a blood transfusion, which means blood from somebody else, because you can lose so much blood that your body won't cope very well at all. And so one of the most amazing things that adults can do, kids can't do this because, I mean, kids aren't allowed to do loads of things, not allowed to drive cars, not allowed to give blood. It's so unfair. Anyway, is giving blood. So you go along to a place and in return for a bit of a lie down for half an hour, and I think you get a biscuit as well, they put a tube in your arm and take a pint of blood from you. And this means that if people have had serious operations or bad car accidents or something like that, then every hospital has got a load of spare blood to top you up in case your bone marrow needs a bit of a head start.
And you also get a sticker, I think, and everyone loves a sticker, Adam.
Oh yeah, I had my vaccine today and I got a sticker and I was delighted.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much on Vaccine Day to chat to us. The brand new book, Kay's Anatomy, it's out right now. And listen, you've had, just over 10 minutes of incredible, amazingly funny explanation. Imagine a whole book filled with that. You need to get a copy. It's Kay's Anatomy. It's out now by Adam Kay. Thank you so much for joining us, Adam.
Thank you for having me.
Never have I felt so smart listening to stuff that sounds so disgusting.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? This is funny stuff. And it's also really, really clever stuff. Because this stuff comes from our body, and because it stinks, and because it's slimy, and we find it funny. But it's good to learn about all these things. And what did you like most?
I loved the fact that your brain can spread out over an entire pillow.
Yes.
That's just the sort of imagery that I live for. I like all that sort of stuff.
And stuff about you make enough spit and saliva to fill a Coke can a day, and to fill an Olympic-sized swimming pool.
Absolutely gross. So gross. But let's get on to the Fun Kids Meets Bingo. And as predicted, as a disgusting man, I quite predictably did quite well on this. The fart fact was fantastic, and we even had the knowledge that the longest fart in the world was 3 minutes.
Well, let's break this down, Sean. Let's talk technique. I don't want to come up show myself to be stupid around Adam Kay, but how do you make a fart last for 3 minutes? I know that he said it's all down to what you're eating. You need loads of gaseous foods, loads of beans, loads of lentils and pulses. You need to swallow air. But how can you keep it going for 3 minutes?
Absolutely wild scenes. Disgusting wild scenes. And also, if you just count 3 minutes in your head, it's longer than you think.
How does anyone have enough space in their body to carry that gas?
It's like a whole Taylor Swift song. It's madness.
It is. I'm not making any jokes because Taylor Swift's the queen of the world, so I don't really want to compare her songs to farts,
yeah,
if that's
okay. Yeah, I know
okay,
that could be quite a sensitive subject for you. But let's move on. The next one was vom. And we did have some excellent good vom facts.
Yep, because answering questions and everyone wants to know why we vom, and Adam gets straight away without missing a beat. This is why we are sick. I'm explaining.
Straight in there like that, no missing. And do you know what? We didn't go all the way down into the gutter because there wasn't much poop chat.
There has to be a limit, Sean. There has to be. You know, we can't be that disgusting on a very smart interview like that. We can't drag ourselves down into the gutter on this show, so there had to be a limit, and I decided that limit was poo.
Amazing stuff, Dan. Thank you for bringing Adam into our lives.
Nope, thank you very much for having Adam and me.
And make sure you go and check out Adam's books, because if you're into gross stuff, if you're into science as well, they are super duper funny. They're really, really good. And even grown-ups are going to love Adam's books as well. So go and check those out. Dan, hopefully we will see you soon.
Yes, thank you very much for having me talking about poo. Not talking about poo, talking about farts.
And make sure that you hit that follow button for more excellent, interesting people. We'll be back on Fun Kids Meets next week. Bye.
Do whale sneeze?
I'm not sure, but luckily I've got an amazing whale expert I can call on.
We essentially go out onto a boat, we go out to the sea, we look for whales, we see a whale breathing.
Who will take us through her experiments.
And then as the whale takes a breath, the drone is flown through the snot and will deliberately collect as much snot as possible.
And let us know the answer. How does that sound, Guy?
That would be fun.
Join us on the Conversations Curious Kids wherever you get your podcasts.